some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Garantano. That's it.
Tan, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. 7:20 the time, and time to head to Knoxville and visit with our man Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML. Somebody won this weekend. It was Tennessee over Mississippi State. Big win for the Vols. Jimmy, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Kevin.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. How much of this game did you feel like what was one up front on the lines, really on both sides of the football, where they seem to have their best games of the season?
That's where it was one. I thought the defensive line played its best game of the year by far. They did a tremendous job shutting down the SEC's leading rusher. Kylan Hill was coming in averaging 119 yards. He had 13 yards on 11 carries. He had 344 yards after contact. I don't know if he had more than four against Tennessee. I don't know where that defensive line came from, but it was impressive. And the offensive line did a good job as well. And a special tip of the cap to them on the last drive. When Mississippi State cut it to three, Tennessee needed to curb the momentum, and they drove it down 91 yards. They got it started with some really good runs on good run blocking, and then the 39-yard touchdown pass to Tyler Byrd sealed the deal. But I was impressed with Tennessee at the line of scrimmage. If they can play that way the rest of the year, I think there's only one team they can't beat and another team they probably can't beat, but the other four are all in play.
You know, when you look at big plays in that game, and really maybe in this season, what about the one of Jerry Garantano, his 9-yard pass to Tim Jordan on 3rd and 6, where they kept that drive you were talking about a moment ago going, and it led to the touchdown to Tyler Byrd that really put the game away?
That was huge. That was one of the biggest plays in the game for Tennessee, in particular on offense, to get that completion to keep that drive going, because that would have put them in a situation of trying to figure out what to do on that fourth down. But I thought that connection right there was key for Tennessee. It enabled them to then convert right after that. It would have been interesting to see what the decision would have been. I guess they would have punted right there near midfield. But they were trying to ice the game. And I thought that was a huge completion. It was one of the Garantano didn't throw a whole lot of passes. I think it was one of six completions he had during the game. His only misfire was on a pass that could have been caught by Jennings. But I thought Garantano played well. That was a huge play in the game for Tennessee to complete that one as they went down to score on that winning drive. And I tell you the truth, I can't remember the last time Tennessee's offense had to go down and score to put a game away and did it. That's been a rare, rare occasion for Tennessee.
Jimmy Himes is our guest from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville.
Jimmy, I guess first and foremost, how's the injury front with, the quarterback as well as Flowers?
Flowers broke his leg, so he's out for the rest of the year. He suffered a broken collarbone last year and missed many of the games last year. So that's a tough blow for him. He injured it on the interception return. As far as the quarterback, Brian Maurer, he suffered a concussion. I tell you what, though, this is going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because he clearly suffered the concussion on the run in which he was upended and landed on his head, his helmet. And the next play, he hands off and he kind of falls down. And then he hands off again. Then he throws an interception. Then he does a play again. They diagnose him with a concussion. And I'm wondering how that was missed. You got Tennessee's staff, coaching staff on the sideline. You got the medical staff on the sideline. You got an SEC medical observer in the press box. How did they miss that? I don't know. But why in the world he played three more snaps is kind of a mystery to me. I don't know if we'll ever get any answers. But he suffered a concussion on that play, played three more snaps, and then play again. And I don't know if he'll be available for the Alabama game.
What did you think about JG's play afterwards? Because it was kind of conservative approach by the coaching staff, so it wasn't actually like they were trying to not throw the ball because Garantano was in the game, correct?
I thought that right off the bat, because when he went in, Tennessee had the ball on like the plus 37-yard line, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, they need to try to get a field goal here. And they handed it off three times, and all they were trying to do was get it in range just to Mangley, and he kicked a 49-yard field goal into the wind that made it by about a yard, maybe. But I thought they were way too conservative right there. Now, in the end, it worked out. But at that time, I thought, you need to be a little bit more aggressive. You need to try to go get closer to field goal range for Samaglia. And then in the second half, there were very few throws. I think there were six pass attempts by Garantano, and a couple of them were short passes or bubble screens. And they did throw a bomb to Keaton for 41 yards. But I think Garantano played really well. He was 6 out of 7, had over 100 yards. And after the game, Pruitt was asked by Garantano, and he said, well, we didn't ask him to do much. Well, you didn't. That's true. But I thought he did a nice job, given the circumstances of what they did ask him to do, including completing two passes on that critical 91-yard drive at the end.
There was a Tyler Byrd sighting, man. Where has that guy been at the whole time?
I tell you, first off, a tip of the cap to him. We said that after the Chattanooga game when he blocked a punt that led to a touchdown.
Right, right.
And then for the first time in his career, he leads Tennessee in receiving in a game. He had three catches for about 56 yards, something like that. I really don't know why he hadn't played more. He certainly looked good. He's very fast. That was obvious. He's been used a lot on special teams. He was a highly touted. He's the top 100 recruit. I don't know the answer to that, but he never entered the transfer portal. He never considered it, he said. He said doing that would be giving up. I don't give up. And one of the things that I saw last year out of him was on many of Tennessee's long runs, he was out there as one of the blockers at wide receiver. He was one of the best blocking wide receivers. But he's done anything he could to contribute. Heck, going forward, he's got to be in the rotation, and I'm throwing him the football some. With his speed and with his hands, and he's improved his hands a lot, but it's a mystery to me why he hasn't played more. Obviously, the coaches have a pretty good idea why they hadn't been playing him, but he certainly helped him win that football game Saturday.
Jimmy Himes, our guest, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. We're talking about Tennessee's victory over Mississippi State. We will have more of Jimmy coming up next. 104.5 The Zone. This is the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Visit allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville for more information. Time for Mark to tell us a thing or two about the Lee Company, please.
That's right, Kevin. If it's on the to-do list for your home, Lee Company will get it done when it comes to heating and air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, handyman services, and home improvements. This is the team you want on your side. With Lee Company on the job, you have more time to enjoy your home and your life. Their team of expert professionals are specialized in their field, so you can count on the craftsmanship and excellence of the work being done. And as a Lee Company customer, I can attest to the fact that I have had several different Lee Company technicians in my home, and they are. They're great. They try to get it done in the most efficient way possible and cost-effective way possible, so they are on the customer's side. So Lee Company, 615-567-1000, or online at leecompany.com. Call them today and experience expertise that makes your life easier. That's right, leecompany.com, or call 615-567-1000. Lee Company, all you need.
.45 The Zone, 7:33, The Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Tennessee scores a big win over Mississippi State Saturday. We're talking about it with Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville every Monday and Friday here on The Zone.
Yes, I guess lastly for me, Jimmy, is has your outlook of UT changed now for the rest of the season?
Yes, it has. And I thought Tennessee had to win that game to change my outlook. I do think Tennessee has an opportunity to win. I like their chances against four of the teams remaining. Okay. South Carolina, UAB, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. I don't like their chances against Alabama, of course. I don't like their chances against Missouri either. Missouri's really good. They've beaten Tennessee 50-17 each of the last 2 years. They're a matchup problem for Tennessee. But I do think Tennessee has an opportunity in those other four games. Is it likely they'll win all four of those? Probably not. This team hasn't been consistent enough to do that. And here's the thing, too. I don't give them the UAB game. If you can't beat Georgia State or you don't beat Georgia State, then there's no given that you're going to beat UAB. So, but I do think the remaining four games, they'll have either be less than a touchdown underdog or they'll be favored. And so, it does change my outlook. If they can continue to play at the line of scrimmage the rest of the way like they did against Mississippi State, they will certainly have a chance to win four of the last six.
Oh, so you're saying bowl?
Well, I'm saying they have a chance. I don't think they're going to go. But I'm saying there's a chance.
Jimmy Himes.
I don't think they win them all.
Himes is saying the B word on the wake-up zone.
Jimmy, in evaluating Maurer, ran the ball well, but those were two hideous end zone interceptions, weren't they?
They were, and it's the reason that I said the other day, and people didn't like this, imagine that, that I would go ahead and go back to Garantano. I can't imagine Maurer being ready for Alabama because of that neck injury, because of the concussion. But he did throw those interceptions. He made some awful decisions against Florida when he threw it into triple coverage in the second half, and they finally said, that's enough of that, and they went back to Garantano. You're not going to beat Alabama anyway. I don't think I'm going to subject my freshman quarterback to that defense. Their defense isn't as good as it's been, but just to that situation. And so I'd go back with Garantano and let him play out the Alabama game. Then see where Maurer is health-wise after that. But, yeah, his decision-making has not been very good for the most part. He did okay in the previous start, but his decision-making on those interceptions was bad. Of course, one of them came after he had a concussion in which he really shouldn't have been in the ball game.
Do you think Jim Chaney went into the game planning to be run-heavy when we all thought he'd be pass-heavy, or do you think that he saw they could run the ball against Mississippi State, so he stuck with that?
No, I thought he thought they could run it against Mississippi State, and Mississippi State was giving up 158 rushing yards per game. So I thought Tennessee was going to seek to be a more balanced team. I didn't think they would be pass heavy. I thought they'd try to be balanced. And then as the game went along, Mark, and you could see that Mississippi State's quarterbacks were terrible and Tennessee's defense was playing well, I think Tennessee played to that. They were really conservative. Don't make any more silly mistakes. Don't throw any more end zone interceptions. And so I think they went in that direction just to try to protect the lead. It worked out. But you know what? I got to admit, during part of that game, I thought back to a Florida game a few years ago when Tennessee went ultra-conservative after getting a 9-0 lead, and they blew it, 10-9. Remember that one in the fourth quarter? And I'm sitting here thinking, the same thing might happen here. But it didn't, and Tennessee's defense held up to win the game.
Yeah, he really went leather helmet there in the second half. Defense had three takeaways, Jimmy, but – I thought especially this was one of Nigel Warrior's best games. I don't know what you thought.
Two in a row. I thought he played really well against Georgia, and he played really well in this game. Against Georgia, he had like 10 tackles and two PBUs. In this game, he didn't have as many tackles, but he had a couple of PBUs. He had the interception. For whatever reason, I think his two best games have been back-to-back. And to be frank with you, I think he's been a disappointment at Tennessee. I don't think he's played at the level that Tennessee thought he would. There were a lot of people thought it was time to bench him, but he's played two really good games back to back, and so that's a bright spot for Tennessee down the stretch. And again, the Alabama game isn't going to matter too much, but they need Nigel Warrior to continue to play like that in the other ball games to give the Tennessee defense a chance.
And they got to play the first half of the Alabama game without Toa Toa, who I think is their best inside linebacker.
Yeah, he and Batuli, it's a really good combination. But Toa Toa was really good. And, look, I can't argue with that targeting call. He needs to lower the strike zone. He's got to hit the guy in the chest or below. He did hit him in the helmet. And even head coach Jeremy Pruitt didn't object to it. Toa Toa didn't object to it either. So you got to be more careful with that. But he is a tremendous player. He's an all-SEC player. He's an impact player. He's a guy that will go down as one of the best linebackers Tennessee's had in the last 10 years.
All right, this one kind of flew under the radar, and maybe it's not a big deal, but to me, I was like, really? The Jay Shoop was pretty much quarantined from the team during the week because they were afraid he was going to spill to his father?
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
They mentioned that during the game.
I didn't know that. I didn't hear the announcers during the game. I know that we talked to some players about Jay Shoup, and they were like, oh, yeah, we know about the dad situation and all that, but I didn't know he was quarantined. Sorry about not having that knowledge.
No, it's okay.
The players we talked to didn't indicate that. They just said, yeah, Jay, you know, Shoup's, he's a good friend and so forth. But that's not being very trustworthy of one of your players.
That's quarantined. Goofy.
Yeah, I mean, goodness gracious, that's an interesting situation of being. Well, you know what, we know most 99% of coaches are paranoid, right? probably close practice and all that silliness. But to quarantine one of your players, wow, that's an interesting. We'll have to ask Pruitt about that.
Jimmy, why is this Alabama game an 8 Central, 9 Eastern start? That seems kind of unusual.
I think because Alabama whined about having noon kickoff.
so we're going to start you as late as we possibly can?
Yeah, we'll fix that. I hope you don't fall asleep. But, yeah, we'll fix that for you. So, I think it in part is because they wanted to – they complained about having those noon starts. I really do. And, of course, they didn't have to put it at 9 o'clock Eastern time, but – so Tennessee's going from a couple of noon kickoffs here to 9 o'clock kick, but that's I do think it had something to do with Alabama complaining about playing at noon.
One more for me, and we'll let you roll. How much did the Georgia loss change the national title picture, and also how much did LSU's win over Florida do the same?
Good question. I think that Georgia now has no margin for error. They have to win out. That includes winning the SEC championship game if they can get there. With LSU, they're really good. They are really good. LSU kind of reminds me a little bit of Alabama in this respect. So for the first time ever, LSU's just throwing it around. They look like a Big 12 team, right? So that Burrow, the receivers, the running backs, they are outstanding on offense. Their defense is not as good as it has been. And the same for Alabama. Alabama's great on offense. Their defense is not as good as it has been. So those two teams are kind of, they're similar to me in that regard. Teams that used to be so defense-oriented now throwing it all over the park and not playing as good on defense. But LSU's a playoff contender. They're right in there. And, in fact, I think if their only loss this year, if it plays out this way, if their only loss this year is to Alabama, they'll be in the playoff. I think they should be. Now, it's going to be interesting because there could be some undefeated teams in other conferences. But, my goodness, what LSU's doing, I think this is an outstanding LSU team, one of the best I've seen.
Jimmy, thanks so much. We'll talk to you Friday.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. Jimmy Himes every Monday and Friday right here on the Wake Up Zone.
And the scary thing about LSU is not only is Burrow having a phenomenal year, and in my opinion, is probably the best playing that position as well as anybody in the country, but they've got run balance. I mean, their two running backs were unbelievable.
I don't think LSU Alabama is going to be a 7-3 this time around.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Might be like a Big 12 game. 7:42 when we come back. Tark would be proud, but Vandy fans not so much. And our Lee Company hot performer. Our Lee Company hot performer is on the way as well. Here on the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Mark, time to roll down the road, down I-40 to Wilson County. Our friend Mitchell Bone joins us now.
That's right. Wilson County Automotive Family, a Bone family tradition since 1927. And that includes Wilson County Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
I am great, and Truck Month is in high gear, isn't it?
You are absolutely right. I just love Truck Month. We've had a ton of folks come in and check out and buy the new Chevrolet Silverado, the longest-lasting, most dependable truck on the road. It is just a fantastic vehicle. If you've not had a chance to ride in the brand-new 2020 Chevrolet Silverado, you're just missing out. We have a ton of selection still left that you can find online at WilsonCountyMotors.com, or even better yet, come in and actually get in one and see how wonderful it is. We're at exit 236 off I-40 in Lebanon, just 20 minutes to the east of the Nashville Airport.
Sounds great, Mitchell. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks, Mark.
All right, that's Wilson County Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. Great people, great deals, even beyond the trucks. Fantastic service in nearby Lebanon.